call is being recorded.
Hello.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Robin.
Hi. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Hi, my name is Robin Cagle, and I'm a graduate student intern with the Journal of the Plague Year COVID-19 Archive at Arizona State University. Today's date is March 20th, 2021, and the time is 10:08 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm sitting in my condo in Puerto Penasco, Mexico, and speaking with Michelle Gable in Anthem, Arizona, to record her experience with contracting the COVID-19 virus for the Journal of the Plague Year Archive. Michelle, do I have your consent to record your responses and add them to the archive with your name?
Yes, you do.
Thank you. All right, well, thanks again for taking the time out of your day to share some of your experiences with me. I really, really appreciate it. So let's start by telling us your name, your age, where you live, and a little bit about your family.
My name is Michelle Gable. I'm 40 years old. I live in Anthem, Arizona with my husband and 5 children.
Wonderful. Okay. So let's go ahead and get started. First, we're going to start with some background. So tell me a little bit about your family and your living situation when the pandemic began.
So we have just purchased our home about a year ago. So we were, it was in December 2020 that I contracted it. So I was living in my new home.
Okay, gotcha. So prior to the pandemic, describe an average week for your family. So where you went, what you did, family, children, school commitments, anything you'd like to share.
So prior to the pandemic, I was working in an office. I was working from home previously, but then changed jobs and had to begin working in an office. So I was traveling 80 miles round trip to the office and back. My kids were home for a few hours by themselves until I got there. So I got home. And, you know, we'd regularly go out to restaurants, bars, hang out with friends, stuff like that.
Okay. So describe how your average week changed after the pandemic began.
So the week changed because we were both working from home, my husband and I. He was traveling back and forth from Arizona to San Diego. He was working from home full time. I began working from home full time, and now all of a sudden our kids are home from school doing online learning once they got that all situated. We couldn't go out to restaurants as much anymore, so we would order takeout food, and then obviously there was really no more outdoor activities, or we pretty much just kind of stayed home and laid low for a while.
Okay. How did the initial experience go with the kids going online?
It was very stressful because I had worked from home before and they would go to school and I had a lot of, you know, I really didn't have a lot of interruptions. I could do my work as needed and it was fairly simple, and the kids would come home from school after, you know, a long quiet day by myself. But now that they were home, I felt like I could not get any work done. And I was really struggling with that because I'm like, I worked from home before. Why am I having such a hard time?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized it was because I had 5 kids almost every, you know, 5-10 minutes going, hey, mom, I need help. Hey, mom, hey, mom, hey, mom, hey, mom. And I'm helping kids with technical issues. I'm helping them get logged onto classes. And my 2 middle children are special needs. And so their special education had a different schedule than the regular kids. The regular kids could pretty much follow their schedule on their own, but my 2 middle ones really needed a lot of assistance, help getting logged on and changing classes and, you know, making sure that they're following along and doing something for schoolwork. So it was very stressful. I felt like I wasn't meeting my job requirements at that point because the kids needed so much help.
Okay. Yeah, that is quite a bit. So with that, prior to the pandemic starting, how was the overall health of your household?
Pretty healthy, actually. I hadn't gotten sick, and even with something basic, I hadn't gotten sick with anything in years since I had been working from home prior. the kids would come home, you know, every now and then with sniffles, and my stepdaughter, she got strep throat very easily, very often, so that was kind of a thing. But the rest of us are healthy. My husband never got sick either, and it was overall pretty healthy, no issues at all.
Okay. So let's move into contracting COVID-19. Describe some of the activities you were doing in, let's say, the week before you contracted the virus.
So since our gyms are open here in Arizona, I was going to the gym. We were still working from home, so I was not going to an office or anything like that. And it was the Christmas season. So there had been some shopping. I had gone, you know, to the mall earlier in the week. And then it was a small, very small 10-person friendly party that we went to.
Okay.
Or I went to.
And were you aware of anyone at that party who possibly could have contracted the virus?
I was not at the time aware of anybody who was sick or feeling ill or contracted or had any contact with someone who had.
Okay. And then were there any symptoms that led you to believe that you had COVID-19 before you officially got tested?
Yeah, so the party that I was at was on a Friday night, and I went to a second party on the Saturday night, which was a little bit bigger. Sunday night, I was fine, but Monday night after I was done working, it hit me like a brick. I all of a sudden got fevers and chills and body aches.
So it hit within like 2 days, 2 to 3 days?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then did you actually get tested?
I did get tested, but only later, about a week, maybe not even a week. I believe, so that was December 21st, the day I first had symptoms. And it's funny, I never forget that day because it was awful. So December 21st is when I first had symptoms, and I think I got finally tested on January 5th because my symptoms were not getting any better.
Okay, January 5th, okay. So describe your feelings as you waited for your test results.
It was going to be no surprise because a few of the people at the party were coming up with positive tests. They were also feeling ill and had fevers, or they kind of had varying symptoms. So it wasn't a surprise. I had been dealing with the symptoms pretty badly on New Year's Eve. I was so dehydrated. I had a nurse friend come and give me some IV fluids. I was feeling pretty miserable. So it wasn't a surprise when I was waiting for my test results.
Okay. So you actually had a nurse friend come to your house and give you an IV?
Yes.
And how did that make you feel? Like after the IV was working?
So prior to that, I was really severely dehydrated. I hadn't eaten between like 12:21 and 12:31. And I had lost about almost 20 pounds during that time, which was, you know, obviously very not normal. And I had miserable headaches, and I had a lot of diarrhea. And so I was just overall, I was losing a lot more than I was taking in. So on December 31st, when I got the IV fluid, I was pretty weak. I mean, I couldn't even joke or talk around really that much with my friend who came in. But she came in and she made sure, you know, she gave me 2-3 bags of fluid. And after that, my headache went away finally, which was a big thing because it was just killing me for days. So my headache went away. I felt a little bit more replenished, but I was definitely still very fatigued.
Okay. So you said that you had the headache for how many days approximately?
Out of that 10 days between getting sick and getting the fluids, I would say I pretty much had it every day.
Wow. Okay. Would you equate it similar to another type of headache, like a migraine, or was it completely new?
No, it definitely felt like a migraine. Nothing I had taken would alleviate it at all. So because of the warnings I had read online, I stayed away from ibuprofen, which normally is the best painkiller for me. That works, you know, great, but I don't, because of the warnings about the inflammatory, you know, the inflammatory nature of COVID, and then taking ibuprofen. And it, I guess that later turned out to not be true. It sucks not knowing that at the time. I didn't take ibuprofen. I tried taking Tylenol, and usually Tylenol doesn't work all that great for me. And it still didn't work very good when I had that headache either. So there was really nothing I could do about the headache. It didn't go away at all.
Okay. Let's see. Looking at my questions. So after you contracted the virus, how did that affect your living arrangements at home with your family?
So I stayed, my bedroom is downstairs and my kids' rooms are upstairs, with the exception of my oldest son. He has a bedroom downstairs as well. So it did make it fairly easy to kind of quarantine myself away from them. However, it was extremely difficult because it was over the holiday season. So I had my sister in town from San Diego, and I pretty much stayed in my room asleep. And I came out Christmas Day, watched the kids unwrap presents. I didn't even help cook or anything like I normally would, and I just went back to my room. So my husband actually stayed in my room with me. He, despite the warnings not to, he slept with me every night, and he was right next to me, and he helped me out, take care of me. But and the amazing thing is that he didn't get sick. So our living arrangements really didn't change. I stayed in the room. I just really tried to stay away from the kitchen area and the kids, but he stayed with me.
Okay. So how did the virus impact you physically? I mean, you talked about headaches, but was there anything else? Like, what other types of effects did you feel?
So the body aches were really, really bad. Like, I felt it hurt in my joints, my arm joint, my elbows. I was getting like shocking pains through my legs. It was really, really painful. And it I would imagine for people who have any kind of like chronic pain disease, that's what I started, you know, to think that must feel like. If you look that up, it feels like probably a chronic pain disease. And again, there was nothing that alleviated that pain. That was pretty awful. So, and then the fevers, I would break into fevers usually while I was sleeping. So I'd wake up just completely drenched in sweat. And then I got the intestinal issues with it as well. And I was pretty much in the bathroom every 5 to 10 minutes. And then once I progressed to COVID pneumonia towards the end of it, which is what drove me to go to the doctor finally, that's where it was really bad. And I couldn't breathe. I couldn't roll over in bed without gasping for air. I couldn't walk to the bathroom without running out of breath. It was I felt like I was drowning laying down.
Wow. Okay. So just listening to you, that leads to my next question. What was your mental health like during this time?
At first, I was too tired. I slept so much, I really didn't think at all.
Mm-hmm.
So once I kind of came out of the fatigue, I was now in pneumonia. And I was starting to get very panicked at that point. I from reading the stories and seeing people be put on ventilators, I was definitely very paranoid. I was scared to go to the hospital at that point because I didn't want to have a situation where I found out I'm so bad I need to get put on a ventilator. That was actually very scary, thinking that if I left my house, then I might not see my family again. That was actually on my mind, pretty scary. Sorry.
Understandable. Not at all.
So, but it came, you know, that was definitely on my mind. I was the only one in the house who was sick, and I'm definitely the head of the household here. I take care of everything. I take care of all the kids. So being down like that, I was still very worried about how the kids were doing, but they knew that I was very sick, and they, they didn't give anybody any grief. They took care of themselves and, you know, helped themselves out and gave us a break. They didn't come needing mom every 5 minutes. But yeah, I was actually very scared. It was a scary experience at that point.
I can only imagine. That is a lot. So we talked about how it impacted you physically and emotionally. Describe how COVID-19 impacted either your livelihood or your family life. I know you kind of talked about your family life a little bit, but any other thoughts about how it impacted your livelihood?
Luckily, it didn't. I had just started a new company I started a new company 3 days before the country shut down. So, and the company was very amazing. I had been working until I got to the COVID pneumonia part, where I couldn't even sit at my desk. I couldn't breathe. I let them know that I had COVID and I had progressed to pneumonia and I really needed a week off of work there was just no way I was going to be able to function at this point anymore. And they were very understanding. I had, I talked to my lead and he was like, that's absolutely fine. Took me off the schedule for the week. Then I talked to my manager above that and they all called just out of concern and making sure I was okay. And then further, our HR department reached out to me to make sure I was okay and if I needed anything. And so I was very fortunate that I had a job right before it started, and the job allowed us to work from home. And my husband's job, you know, he's construction in San Diego, and it didn't. His work slowed down a little bit, but neither one of us fortunately went without a paycheck at any point.
Okay, that's great. So, how long did it take you to recover? Do you think?
So we're still out here. Today is March 19th, right?
20th.
And I'm still not fully recovered. I'm having heart issues that developed after the other COVID symptoms. The other COVID symptoms stopped and my heart issues started. And I went through a couple weeks of insomnia. I had like a attention deficit. I could not sit down. I was overactive and I was dropping things a lot, which was weird. I was getting really pissed off at myself because I'd be somewhere and I just keep dropping things and I don't know why that was happening. What else was there? So indefinitely, you know, they said they call it the brain fog. That lessening, but the brain fog was pretty bad after I recovered. I was struggling with work. I was struggling getting through my, you know, simple transactions because I'd get confused or what was I doing or, you know, something wrong. And even at home too, because I walk into a room and not know why I was there. Probably common anyway, but it definitely seemed a lot worse. So one thing that really, aside from the heart issues, was dropping things, that was really weird.
Oh, I can imagine. So with that, do you feel like you changed behaviors at all after contracting the virus, considering we're still in the pandemic?
So what's weird about that is that now that I've already had it, I feel like I kind of have a freedom that I'm not going to catch it. I mean, you can definitely catch it again, but I have some kind of antibodies for the time being. So it kind of felt a little bit more freeing. That is part of what prompted me to go take a weekend vacation in Cabo, knowing that I wouldn't be able to contract it again at this point. So, and then kind of being freer without wearing my mask now than I was before. But I'm also fearful of catching it again, catching a different strain because of how badly I got it. So when I'm not, I do still wear my mask when we go out, unless we're outdoors somewhere, then I tend not to, but indoors I wear it. You know, the washing of the hands and the antibacterial, hand sanitizer, I'm still pretty vigilant with that. I really don't like being out in indoor public spaces with a lot of people. So mm-hmm. My habits are still kind of the same as, you know, before I got sick and, you know, being safe during the pandemic, with that exception of I have already had it, so.
Right.
So I don't, you know, I should be okay for a little while at least.
Okay. So you talked a little bit about masks. So has your opinion, how has your opinion changed about masks before you contracted versus after you contracted the virus?
It really hasn't. I'm fine with wearing one wherever it's required. If it, you know, I don't know what their efficacy is, really. It's hard to say that the party that I caught it at, would it have mattered if we had all worn masks the whole night? Probably not, because we were sharing, you know, food trays and, you know, in a confined house, you know, so I don't think, honestly, that masks would have kept me from getting sick when I did get sick, and which was surprising because it was just 10 people and 10 people that we trusted, and we knew their routines, and we knew that they weren't really exposing themselves. But so, no, it really hasn't changed my opinion of masks. I still think just wear it and it's fine, and you know, it's not a huge hindrance to me, at least.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the vaccine. What is your opinion about receiving a vaccine or not?
Since I have heard about the symptoms that people get when they receive the second vaccine, especially if they've been priorly diagnosed with COVID or had it, it makes me a little nervous, because most people that I've talked to, personal experiences, they say when they get the second vaccine, they get sick like all over again from anywhere from 1 to 3 days. And again, I don't think it's possible to come down with pneumonia in 3 days, at least I hope not, but it does make me a little nervous, because I don't want to go through that and end up with worse symptoms or end up in the hospital because of it. I do kind of wish that, you know, I definitely want to wait a little while and see how people are reacting to it before I get my own. But I do want to get one, like I said, because I do not want to catch this again.
Understandable. Now, that said, do you have any advice for people who have not contracted the virus?
Well, you know, from how it happened with me and how I heard, you know, other people talk about it, I don't know what you can or can't do. Like, you can take all the precautions and people still catch it. Like, he traveled back and forth pretty frequently, and we think he might have had it in early summer, and he only had a few days of symptoms, and that was it. But he was actually very careful. He's one who wore gloves, he wore his mask, he did sanitizer all the time, and maybe, you know, I was a little bit freer with that, and I still contracted it, and so did he. It's best just to take the precautions, because you don't know how your body in particular is going to react to it. I am fairly healthy. I have no underlying conditions at all other than being overweight. I don't have any kind of autoimmune disease. I don't take any medications on a regular basis. And it hit me very, very hard. And that was surprising. So, I mean, the best advice I would say is just take the precautions, because it's not worth finding out the hard way, you know, how badly you might get it.
Definitely. All right, Michelle. Well, I really appreciate you taking your time or taking time out of your day-to-day to do this and sharing your experience with me. So thank you very much, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
You too, Robin. Thank you.
All right, take care.
You too.
Bye.